I wouldn't be the first one to say it. Place tricks with your mind. Every point in this maimed is classic. It's been said 100 times before. I could show you where these nyanim are found in chassidus. If there's a hard paydik, it's paydik hay. And guess what? The hard part of this maimed is not paydik hay. The unfamiliar part of the maimed is paydik hay. Everything else is so familiar. Go through the parakim. Everybody knows about ruach shtus. Everybody knows about shita and aveda zara. Everybody knows about seva and mamale. The sugya of emuna of yidden and goyim. You have in many mamorim in samach tzedek and matzah explains yiddish emuna, goyish emuna. Every idea in this maimed is classic. Every idea, das, what did he say? That ruach habehema yetsa matzah. The ideas are all traditional ideas. But the Rebbe is creating something. And the creation eludes you. You don't get it. I said to him before you guys walked in, I must learn this maimed 20 times. I mean, I've been around Lubavitch. You know, when I grew up, there were 10 maimed Rebbe Muga. In Muga, there were almost none. One of the maimed was this. And you learn it, and you don't know what he wants. This is how I've always felt. And I think, I do not know, I think that I get what's the creation of the Rebbe. Again, I'm telling you again, none of the thoughts are original, but there's an original creation here. The Rebbe is saying something that's special, different. And I hope, with the help of God, of course, to share with you this deadhead, and maybe it will give you a sense of what's going on in the mind. But first, basics. Let's do Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis is that we all know about Vasi Lagani. Vasi Lagani, one of the most incredible Hashgacha Pratis you'll ever hear about, was the first Maimed our Rebbe heard when he showed up at the Fidike Rebbe. He was 21 years old. And he came to the Fidike Rebbe for no reason other than to meet his daughter. In the winter of Tafresh Pei Gimel, 1923, he came for Shabbat Pasha's boy. All these things are now becoming revealed because they printed a volume of Ignis. The Fidike Rebbe writes to the Rebbetzin, he came again in the summer. He says, this visit is different than the last visit that happened in the winter. The first Shabbos that Rebbe was on Fidike Rebbe, he heard this Maimed Vasi Lagani. It's remarkable. The Maimed didn't start Vasi Lagani. It started Be'etzam Ayeim Azeh Yotzikol Tzivas Hashem in Tavshin Yud, when the Rebbe was Maimed was reprinted for the Rebbe's, for the Fidike Rebbe's grandmother and mother's Yartzeiten. The Rebbe axed out the first 10-12 lines, and he starts Lohavan the Ashag Mikhila Mashakas of Basi Lagani Khaisekal, the Maimed starts Basi Lagani. For the record, the Maimed Basi Lagani we have is based on a Maimed in Tafresh Nun Ches. You could look it up, Basi Lagani, very similar Maimed. The Fidik of Basi Lagani is based on a Tafresh Nun Ches. The second half of the Maimed, which is about Tzivas Hashem, is based on a Maimed from Pashas Boy in Tafresh Pei. You could look it up. If you look it up, you'll realize to what degree Maimorim come from earlier Maimorim. I could show you clearly the Fidik of Basi Lagani where it comes from. The first 10 parakim is Tafresh Nun Ches Basi Lagani. The second 10 parakim is a Maimon and Tafresh Pei. I think it's Be'etzam Ayem. Is that Pashas Boy Tafresh Pei? You can take a look inside. But in that year, in Pei Gimel, when the Rebbe said the Maimon, it was in two Shabbosis, Boy and Beshalach. When the Rebbe submitted the Maimon to the Kohol, when he gave it out again to people in Tafshin Yud, he divided it up into four parts, destined for Yortzeit. Yud Shvat was Yortzeit for his grandmother, and it turned out to be his own Yortzeit. Yud Gimel Shvat is Yartzeit for his mother. So it was 5 prokem for Yud Shvat, 5 prokem for Yud Gimel Shvat, then 5 prokem for Purim, and the last 5 prokem were Beis Nissen, which is the Rebbe Rashab's father's Yartzeit. Kumtai said this Maimer was supposed to be a Maimer all about Yartzeiten, and as it turned out, it was his own Yartzeit. And of course, when the Fidik Rebbe was nostalgic, 10 to 8 in the morning, Shabbat Pashas Bey, Yud Shvat, Tovshin Yud, the Rebbe said that this Maimer is the Tzavor. The Fidik Rebbe, completely out of character, did not leave a will, at least the one that reached us. The Rebbe says, this Maimed is the Fidik Rebbe's will. And the Rebbe said, you kocht in their Maimed. Basi Lagani, nothing consumed the Rebbe in terms of Teder more than the Basi Lagani. And in fact, over the course of the next 38 years, the Rebbe would say once, sometimes two, sometimes three, to the four Maimorim, based on the Basi Lagani and the respective Perakim, as you all know. The first year said a Maimed and Perik Aleph, the second year Maimed and Perik Beis, still Tafshin Lamed. 20 years, 20 Perakim. Lamed Aleph, he started again. He said 18 more times Basi Lagani. on the first 18 Prakim in the second cycle, the Rebbetzin passed away 2 weeks after Yud Shvat, and the Maimonim basically finished. The following year, Yud Shvat Toshin Memtes, there was no Maimon. But the tradition of learning Pedek Lashana continues. And as a result, this year, Tafshin, Ayin Gimel, we're learning Pedek Gimel for the fourth time, which means that we have Maimorim of Yud Gimel and Lamed Gimel. They printed four Maimorim, two Basi Laganis and two additional Maimorim, all based on the Basi Lagani. What's the Nekuda of Basi Lagani? The Nekuda of Basi Lagani is a map, an instruction manual for fulfilling the purpose of creation. I don't know how else to say it. That's what Basi Lagani is about. Fulfilling the purpose of creation. What's the title Basi Lagani? Basi Lagani does not mean I came to a garden. Basi Lagani means I have returned to a garden. L'mokim shahaya ikni betchila. And I returned to the garden means the Eibishter was here and the Eibishter left. And by Matan Teira, the Eibishter Shechina was brought back down Lamata Ba'aretz. Now the obvious question that strikes any person who analyzes the Maimon Basi Lagani is, so it's a story. Once upon a time the Eibishter was here, then the Eibishter left, and then the Eibishter gave us a Teira and the Shechina came back Lamata Ba'aretz. Ma'dahava hava, let bygones be bygones. Why are we studying a Medrash explaining a Pasuk that's talking about what was? And there's a very, very important and serious answer to the question. You can say it in many ways, and in the Rebbe's various Maimonides, Basi Lagani, the Rebbe himself says it in a variety of different ways, but this is how I'm going to share it with you. Remember, when the Eibishter gave the Teira Har Sinai, the Shechina returned L'mata Ba'aretz. 40 days later, we made an Egel Azov. And we repeated the mistake of Adam and Chava. The Gemara says, and the Zohar says it even more emphatically, that B'shas Matan Teira Poskazu Amosam, Yidden lost any connection to the original sin. And therefore it says, in the Gemara, Nigla de Teira, Choros al Aluchas, Choros al Acheiros, Cheiros mi Malach Amoves, Yidden after Matan Teira was supposed to live forever, like Adam and Chava Kedem Achet, because they had no Zuhama, they had no free radicals, they had no inexactness in their goof, because they lost every connection to the original sin, which is the source of Misa. When Adam and Chava ate Mitzdas Tevara, and 40 days later they made an egg. And the whole story starts again with a basic difference. The basic difference is when the Eibishter, when Adam and Chava ate Mitzdas Tevara, there was what's called in Sfarim Gedishin, there was a divorce, a departure, which Bepashtus means the Eibishter kicked us out of Gan Eden. But according to this Medrash, it wasn't the Eibishter kicked us out of Gan Eden. We kicked the Eibishter out of Elam Hazeh. And it's really the same thing. It's not that much different. The Eibishter left, right? The Maimon doesn't say that the Eibishter threw us out of Gan Eden. The Eibishter left Elam Hazeh and went to the Kiyah Aleph and the Kiyah Beis and the Kiyah Gimel. When Yidden made the Egel HaZohav and they brought the Zuhama back into the world, making it impossible for there to be the same matzav that had been Koidim Chatei Tzadas, the Eibishter had a different solution. In other words, the Eibishter was here, we threw him out. The Eibishter came back, we threw him out again. But the second time, the Eibishter says, I'm not leaving. Instead, the Eibishter says, V'asu li'mikdash v'shachanti b'seicha, make me my own space. If I cannot be in the house of every Jew, because in the private home of a Jew, there's Zuhama, give me a makom tohar, give me a makom kodesh, which is mine. That's the base of mikdash. And according to certain shittas, there's different shittas, of course, the whole idea of building a mishkan is a reaction to chateigel. And if not for chateigel, you don't have to build a mishkan, because every yid's home, every yid's goof is a mishkan, a mikdash lay is bara. So because of the chateigel, the Eibishter says, v'asu l'mikdash, make me a house. And there's a chap. The base of mikdash has very, very specific locations and dimensions and rules and halachas and so forth. But the mitzvah of v'asu l'mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem, make me a base on mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem, has a stipulation. What's the stipulation? That although, if you think about it, the Eibishter was here, we threw him out. The Eibishter came back, we threw him out. But this time he says, I'm not going, give him my own corner, I'll sit in my closet. But when he says, the Eibishter is saying an emes. What is that, an emes? The emes is that the job of a Jew is to expand the base on mikdash. Beis Hamikdash has specific dimensions and it's in a specific spot. And by the way, this is a maimed amuzgin. Al pi nigla de teira, al pi halacha, you're allowed to be meisef, ala ir, ala zores, ala oretz. You can stretch the borders of Eretz Yisrael, you can stretch the borders of Yerushalayim, you can stretch the borders of the Beis Hamikdash. You just need a couple of conditions. You need Urim V'Tumim, and a Bez Nevi'im Aleph, and a Novi, and a Kein Gadol, and a Melech. But there's poshut ways of making the Beis Hamikdash bigger, making Yerushalayim bigger, and sof kol sof making the whole world into Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael into Yerushalayim, the whole Yerushalayim into the Beis Hamikdash. And that's Basil Agani. This maimed is not telling us stories. This maimed is telling us what needs to be. Because the Eibishter was confined to a building because of Chet HaEgel, there is a necessity to stretch that building to include Kol Echad V'Echad, to include the whole world. So the whole maimed Basi Lagani is saying, now I'm in a small building, you have to change it from B'Sei Chay to B'Tei Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. So the whole maimed Basi Lagani is saying a very, very simple thing. All of us understand, all of us understand that the Eibishter was here and the Eibishter left, then the Eibishter came back, and then he became confined to a house. This maimed is not talking about what was. This maimed is talking about what we must do. We must make our own bodies, our own homes, and our own chalki ba'elim. And safka saf kol ha'elim kulei, a mishkan a mikdash la yizbar. And therefore, if you want to know what is your task in making a mishkan a mikdash la yizbarach, look at the Beis HaMikdash. The Eibishter instructed us to make him a home based on certain criteria. A Yid extrapolates. He looks at the home that Yid made for the Eibishter, for him to live in the beginning, to learn how he can now expand that home and make that home bigger. That's Basi Lagani. So the whole Maimon said, you want to make this world a Beis HaMikdash for the Eibishter, just like he has a tiny little space that in Harameriyah and Kedesh HaKadoshim. You want to make the whole world a Mishkan, a Mikdash LaYizbarach. Look at that model so you learn how to do this. That's the Maimon Basi Lagani. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, Basi Lagani is about what we call in our culture, Nesav HaKadosh Baruch, Olias LaYizbarach, Dira B'Tachteinim. The whole world should be his, not just a house. And the Basi Lagani is divided into two parts. The first part is how you build a house. And in one word, the home for the Eibishter is built, Aideh Eskafi V'Ezapche. That's the first 10 parakim of the Maimed Mevenike, first 9 parakim. And the second part of the Maimed is who builds the house. And the Maimed is built through the Tzivis Hashem. And from Perek Yud until Perek Chof, he explains Tzivis Hashem, and how Tzivis Hashem are given the Eitzis, the Bizbos HaEitzis, to build the Eibishter's house. That's Basi Lagani. And again, I'm assuming you've come across this before. We learn this Maimed every single year. This, in short, is Basi Lagani. Basi Lagani is the house that the Eibishter lives in is confined. Our job is to change it from B'tei Choy to B'tei Kolecha V'Echad, means us. How do we make this home of the Eibishter?
What's the second half of the
Nasa? Who does it? And the answer is the Tzivis Hashem. That means Poshet Yid, not Tzadikim. And the Tzivis Hashem do it with the Koyach of the Bizbos HaOitzis and the Melech is Mevazbiz HaOitzis. Yud Avram, this is not new to you, right? Now, when the Rebbe talks about building the Eibishter a home, the Friedekem I'm talking now, and that building the Eibishter a home is achieved at the Eskafi V'Ezhapcha, he says 3 points. Karbonis, that's Perek Beis. Transforming Shtus de Yumaze into Shtus de Gdusha, that's Perek Gimel Dalden Hay. And transforming Sheker into Kedesh, the Beis Midrash made from Kroshim, from Sheker into Kedesh and Keshe. And that's Prokem Vov Zayin Chesentes. Again, the Rebbe mentions the idea of Eskafi, that you make the Eibishter's house by bending and transforming this world, not by isolating yourself and living in ideal holiness, but by struggling and transforming the world. 3 points. Perek Beis, Karbonis. Perek Gimel Dalden Hey, transforming Shtus de Yumazeh into Shtus de Gdusha. And Perek Vov Zayin Chesen Tes, by Bimahapek, the Sheker of Elam, into the Keresh, the Kroshim, and the Kesher, and the Beis Hamikdash. Into Kedesh, the Beis Hamikdash boards were called Kroshim. Into Kedesh and Kesher. Sheket, same oisis, Shin Kufresh, you rearrange it, becomes Kedesh and Kesher. So last year we learned Perek Beis, which of course is Perek Yud Beis, and we learned about Karbonis. This year is Perek Gimel, learning about Shtus. But the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimed, Perek Gimel, talks about the negative, Shtus de Limazah. Shtus de Kedusha is Ash Perek Hei. The Fidei Gavat Maimon Perek Gimel talks about bad stuff. Perek Gimel of Basi Lagani doesn't explain how you're going to fix the world. It explains why the world is messed up. Dalad also Lecheira. I don't remember, but I think Dalad is also. Yeah. Dalad talks even more about Avedis, if I'm not wrong. So this Perek is telling you the shtus that needs to be transformed into a shtus de Gedush. Now I want to say to you an obvious question. If I was writing Basi Lagani, and of course, good news, I'm not writing Basi Lagani, okay? I would restructure the Maimon. I'll tell you why. Because when you talk about the Beis HaMikdash, there's two things. Building it, and worshipping within it. I'll be saying, which should come first? Building it and worshipping within it. So Perek Beis is about Korbanos. If I was writing Basi Lagani, I would put Perek Gimel Dal Din Hei before Beis, and I would put Vav Zayin Ches, that's also before Beis. Why? First, you mahapach shtus de liyum as making the shtus de kedusha, that's building the Beis HaMikdash. You mahapach shekin in the kedush, which is vital to build the Beis HaMikdash. Then, once the Beis HaMikdash is built, you have the karbonus. Achas ha'avedis ha'ikris shayi be'mikdash is avedis ha'karbonus. Parenthesis, derech agav maimer ha'muzgir. I want you to know that in one of the maimorim, the Rebbe, our Rebbe, is medayik from the Friedrich Rebbe's maimer, that these two tasks of building the Beis HaMikdash and serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash once it's built is the difference between the Avodah of the Tzaddikim, the Nesi'i Hador, and Stam Yidden. The Tzaddikim, the Gedali Yisrael, and Nesi'i Hador, they have to build the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash is built, we do the Avodah within the Beis HaMikdash. But there's an obvious kasha. How come Perek Beis talks about Karbonis, which is built serving Hashem once the Beis HaMikdash is built? And Gimel Dalad Nei talks about Hafeich Hashtuz Del Umas and the Shtuz Del Gedusha. And Vav Zayin Ches and Dess talks about Mahapach Sheket HaKedesh. The sages need to be said. It doesn't make any sense. No, I don't know the answer to that question. But I just want to make a diuk. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because I didn't even have the time to think it over, Mamish. It's a very obvious question that you immediately see with Lloyd Basar Lagani. Perek Beis spoke about Karbanas. Correct? Perek Gimel talks about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But he chooses to mention in the very beginning of Perek Gimel, when he talks about Karbonas, he says, "Ubefrat Maisa HaKteiris." In Perek Beis, there's no mention of Kteiris. And then again, the Rebbe, in his version, if you learned Basar Lagani and Tashniyot Gimel, he also makes a point of mentioning "Ubefrat Maisa HaKteiris." Push the kasha. Perek Beis is about Karbonas. The Fidei Gemel forgets about Kteiris. Perek Gimel has nothing to do with Karbanas. Perek Gimel is talking about building the house. He squeezes it all, befrat ma'isa k'teiris. It's an obvious question. He doesn't explain k'teiris at all. Doesn't explain it. He just puts it there to make you uncomfortable. You think you understand? Eat this, you know. But three words, befrat ma'isa k'teiris. Why didn't he put k'teiris in the painting page? Why wasn't he mazba ma'isa k'teiris? Of course, I don't know the answer to that question. But I'm going to tell you, posh to gedank. And again, I don't know if this is true, but I think it helps resolve a lot of questions, and it sets up the limud of Perek Gimel. Remember, there's two madrigas of klipa. There's klipas nega and the sholosh with meis lagamri. One of the differences between karbonis and ketedis is this. Karbonis is a kosher animal, and it's mechaper on shgogos. Not chatois, it's doinis. Kimat not. Very few karbonis mechaper on azod. Because it's mavara klipas nega. Kteiris is 11 samamonim, achadosar, right? Everybody knows this. And one of the 11 samamonim is chelbana. Chelbana stinks terribly. It's an insufferable shmek. Yeah, because it represents sholosh klipas atmeis lagamri. The beer of sholosh klipas atmeis lagamri is a mitzvah was kteiris. So I am suggesting that the Friedrich Rebbe is providing a remez. And the remez is as follows. The kavon of a yid is kafi v'sapcha. To transform klipa, to bend and transform klipa, make it into kedusha. That's how you make a dira leis barach b'tachteinim. That's how you make the building the Beis HaMikdash. Perek Beis speaks about karbonis. Karbonis means klipas noige, what we call in our avoda culture taivas heted, not taivas yisit. Perek Gimel talks about shtus. Shtus means, like he says at the end of the maimer, that you do an aveira. And therefore, to correct the Aveda, you cannot go b'derech hamitzua, like it says in the Rambam, that a person is supposed to be a centrist, supposed to walk in the middle. You have to go dafter to shtuz the gdusha. right? The last page of the Maimon, which means in your pamphlets it's on page Chavot. The reason you have to go into Shtuz the Kedusha is because it's the Inyan of Abal Tshuva. Since you didn't do Avedis, they're the Fetish. So if you want to be Mesakin in Aveda, which is a Shtuz the Yomaza, you need to have a Shtuz the Kedusha. Kum Tois, if my hypothesis is correct, there's a very basic difference between the Hira of Pedic Beis of Karbonis and the Hira of Pedic Gimel Dalden Hay, which will be Hapach Shtuz the Yomaza, the Abteris of Pashtazah. Karbonis is not an Aveda, it's Pashat Klippas Nega. Shtuz the Yomaza is an Aveda. And the Shtuz the Kedusha is higher than the Afich of Karbonis, it's Aveda, it's a Tshuva. So I'm suggesting that's why the Fidik Rebbe is Meramez, and the Rebbe repeats it. No Hezbir. Mittamal, I found Ketetis. Because Ketetis is Mesakin Zdainis. Ketetis is Mahapach Sholosh Klippah Tmeyas Lagamri. Ketetis is Mahapach and Aveda Yidas on purpose. Real Klippah. In other words, Abaisai, if you want to understand the difference between Shtus to Liyumaza Peter Gimel and the Behema, what you're Makiv on the Mizbeach of Peter Beis, the Behema you're Makiv in Peter Beis is Klippah Snega. It's also Skafi Vesapcha. It's also of us to the Mikdash. It's also of Dira B'Tachtenim, but it's a bit of Klippas Nega. Perek Gimel and Dalet, he's talking about Avedis, Shtuz Del Yuma Zem Mamish, Ra. And therefore, the Hafich of Shtuz Del Yuma Zem requires Shtuz the Kedusha, as the Rebbe explains it in the end of the mind, where this means Avedis Achu. So I am thinking that this is the Nekud of Perek Gimel, where the Rebbe explains it in Tavshin Yud Gimel. We're talking about Shtus. What's Shtus? Bad. What's bad and Aveda? Not Klippas as the Eibishter made them. Klippas as the Eibishter made them was Pedic Beis. Klippas Noiga. Forget. The Rebbe says not Pedic. One of the biggest Chedushim of our Pedic is Sholosh Klippas Atmeis Lagamri is also a Lakoda Lakaya. A person who does an Aveda is worse than Sholosh Klippas Atmeis Lagamri. In other words, there's two levels of Klippa. There's God made Klippas and man made Klippas. God made Klippas means the Eibishter made certain things to be in a certain degree of evil. Whatever evil they're in, they know the Eibishter is a lakoda lakaya. To fix that is karbanas. Man made Klippas means when a yid does eiver one of tayag mitzvahs, olahav lagoy, which is one of the biggest chiddushim of this maimi, speaks about goyim. Eiver one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach, this is shtus. Because this is worse than the Klippas that the Eibishter created. The Klippas that the Eibishter created, Sai Klippas Nega, and Sholosh Klippas Meis Lagamri, Sei Alakod Alakaya, they have a concept of an Eibishter, that was Pedic Beis, Karbonas. Pedic Gimel is Shtus, a person, Eivir, the Eibishter's Ratzen, and he's Garua Opochas, he's worse than Klippas Mamish, because when a person is doing an Aveda, this is not an Inyan for Alakod Alakai, this is Aveda Zor, Ozav Hashem Zor. So if I may repeat what I'm saying to you by way of introduction is you have to see this Pedic as not talking about Stam, being Mahapach, Klippa into Kedusha. We're talking about being Mahapach, the Klippa that people create into Kedusha. And the Klippa that people create is worse than the Klippa the Eibishter created. Because the Klippa the Eibishter created, even Sholosh Klippas Atmeis, the Sofkol Sofel Lakoda Lakaya, they know the Eibishter. And the person doesn't have Aveda is forgetting about the Eibishter. It's not the Lakod Alakai, it's other Vavaya Sarit, it's Aveda Zorah Mamish, which is worse than the Lakod Alakai. This is the shtel of the Maimon. This is how I see the Gisha. What's going on? We're talking about Shtus. What's Shtus? This is not the Eibishter, this is ours. Saibaya Yid and Saibaya Goy. What did the Eibishter create? The Eibishter created Klippa. For a yid, it's klipas noiga. For a goy, it's sholosh klipas meis lagamri. But the klipa the Eibishter created for a yid, and the klipa the Eibishter created for a goy is a lakod alakaya. He knows there's an Eibishter. Person doesn't have Eibishter, he's doing a bad thing. Tshuva is mesakin, not only the klipas that the Eibishter made him, that know the Eibishter at a level of a lakod alakaya, but he's mesakin even the inyan of aveda zara, which denies a lakod alakaya. The rabbi says, let's talk business. The rabbi says, the yesod. It's a Maimon Chazal, it's a Gemara, it's a Pasuk Chumash with Rashi. Ein Adam Eiver Aveira Elim Kei Nichnas Beiruach Shtus. You cannot do the Aveira unless you lose your mind. Ruach Shtus means temporarily insane. Lost your head, meshuggah. Nobody in his right mind is going to do an Aveda. And the Aveda is Shtus. And again, I'm sorry for being so broken, recordish. An Aveda Shtus means to say this is beyond the klipas that the Eibishter created. Beyond Sai Klipas Nega, which is the klipa of a Yid. Sai Sholosh Klipas is the klipa of a Goy, because that's Sofal Alakad Alakaya. Shtus is worse than Alakad Alakaya. By a Yid and his Madrega, by a Goy and his Madrega. Peter Gibel is dealing with Shtus. We're dealing with man-made klipas. You want to deal with God-made klipas? Peter Beis, Karbonis, that's it. And the Yisod is, a Yid cannot do an Aveda, LMK, Nichnas, Beruach Shtus. A person does an Aveda, Beruach Shtus. Why? And the answer at Abbeisa is, because doing an Aveda is Hepech HaTeva. Doing an Aveda is Hepech HaTeva. Now here we get to what I think is the meat of the Maimir. Doing an Aveda is Hepech HaTeva is discussed in Perek Beis and the beginning of Perek Gimel. The rest of Peter Gimel and the beginning of Peter Dalid, I'm not sure exactly where to put. I could spin it both ways. But in the middle of Peter Dalid, the Rebbe flips. And he starts talking about the Teva of the Nefesh Kis. In other words, Rabbi Isai, the Yesod of this Pedic is Shtus. Shtus is what man does to go worse than the Eibishter made him. Hepech Teva. Hepech which Teva? Teva of Nefesh Bahamas? Tevav Nefesh Elokis. The Rebbe brings both. Perek Beis and the beginning of Gimel, or maybe all of Gimel, speak about Hepech Tevav Nefesh Abamis. In Perek Dalid, the second half, and then of course in Perek Hey, he starts talking about Hepech the Tevav Nefesh Elokis. So Ein Adam Eved Aveda Elam Keinichnes Beiruach Shtus, which allows you to break your Teva, has two Madregas. Madrega number one is Yateva of Yenefesh Abahamis. Madrega number two is Tevashal Kis. Now, there's a lot of different ways to go with this, but I want to say it this way. The first inyan, Ein Adam Eved Aveda Elam Keinichnes Beiruach Shtus, when you do an Aveda, you're going against the Teva of Yenefesh Abahamis, is the same by a Yid and a Goy. A Goy also has a Nefesh Abahamis. And when a Goy does an Aveda of Sheva Mitzvah Menech, he's Eved on his Teva. When a Yid does an Aveda of any one of the Tayag Mitzvahs, he's Eved on his Teva. But where do a Yid and a Goy similarities meet? Only in the Madrega of the Nefesh Abahamis. So when you learn Perek Beis and the Pinning of Perek Gimel, he's emphatically not separating Yidin from Goyim. Like it says in the letter which is printed on page Chav Ches. Just like a Yid has a Ruach Shtus, a Goy has a Ruach Shtus. So the Ruach Shtus is an insanity that makes you create a klipa worse than the klipas the Eibishter created. Why? It's Hepech, your Teva. Teva number one, Teva of Nefesh Abamis, Yidin and Goyim are equal as far as this is concerned. I'll explain it soon. But then he says, wait. A Yid also has a Neshama. And the Neshama gives him also a Teva. A Goy doesn't have a Neshama. And because a Goy doesn't have a Neshama, you cannot say that a Goy is going Hepech the Teva of his Neshama. He has no access to his Neshama. So there's another concept in Ruach Shtus. And the second concept of Ruach Shtus is only by Yidin and not by Goyim. That you're going against the Teva of your Pintel Yid, of your Nekudas Sayados, which doesn't let you do an Aveda. That's how I see the development, the Hishtalshulos of the Maimer. Point one, we're dealing with man-made klipas. That's why he mentions ketedas. This is a ha'ara of my own. What's a man-made klipas? Shtus! Fool! The Eibish told you not to do it. You didn't listen. You did it. Shtus! An aveda. And the answer is going to be shtus the kedusha. Shtus the kedusha says the Rebbe is not karbonis. Shtus the kedusha is tshuva. Tshuva is higher than karbonis. Karbonis is the second klipas nega. Karbonis is the second only on shkoges. Bederach klal. There are two or three Avedas where you can bring a carbon asham, asham mi'ilis for a zodin. Nazoyim, but come on, it's all for shkoges. For a zodin, you need tshuva, shtus the kedush. And what is shtus? Shtus means going against your nature. Going against your nature. Going against your nature is idiotic. Animals don't do it. Animals can't possibly do it. A yid could go against his nature. La'av l'goy could go against his nature. But when you say about going against your nature, there's two natures. Nature number one, nature of Nefesh HaBahamas, this Yidden and Goyim have in common. That's Perek Beis and Gimel. Nature number two, the nature of the Pintle Yidden and Neshama, this is only about Yidden and not by Goyim. That's how this Maimah goes. That's till the end of Perek Hei, that's the Maimah. So Rabbi Sai, let us talk about the word Teva. It's a key word in this Maimah. Let us talk about the word Teva. A nature. Is nature a good thing or a bad thing?
It's good as long as it serves its purpose.
It's both. It's good because it gives you direction, and it's bad because it inhibits you, it limits you. If your nature is to be kind, yeah, that's a good thing. But when you have to get the arvi to serve Hashem, and you tell him if you're not going to make a bracha, he has to pay for his food, and you need me to say gevurah, it's against your nature. Every nature has an upside and a downside. The nekudah of nature is the Eibishter fixed me. He locked me into a certain framework. I'm stuck. And in Maimonides Chassidus, whenever they talk about Teva and Nes, there's a famous sugi Teva and Nes. By the way, this is one of those sugis that above all else, the Rebbe developed the sugi more than any honor that Rabbeim. They always bring Shals of Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. I actually went out and bought the whole set of Shals of Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi because of this one tshuva. I think it's Simin Tezayim. Where the Chacham Tzvi explains the word Nes and Teva. Chassidus always quotes the Shals of Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. What did it say about Teva? Three translations. Teva means nature, obviously. Teva means a mint. Like the Maimei Chazal call a Matbeya Shetov HaChamim Bebrachas. Or Matbeya Shetov HaChamim Datin Begitin Bekedushin. Right, the brachas have a certain Matbeya. Matbeya means how you're supposed to say a brach. You're not allowed to change Matbeya Shetov HaChamim Bebrachas. If the Chazal will convey, this is a bracha k'tzari, you can make it a bracha aruch. If the Chazal will convey that it's chesem is a baruch and a pesach is a baruch, you can't change it. If the Chazal will convey that it's pesach a baruch and it's chesem a baruch, you now will change. Matbeya means a mint. What's a mint? It's a mold. You pour molten metal into it and you make many duplicates exactly the same. They all look the same. They're the same matbeya. They're all fixed in a particular style. They all look exactly the same. That's the word matbeya, mint. And the third type of the word matbeya is from the word tviya, to be immersed. Someone who's drowning is called toiveya. He's sunk, he's under the water, he can't see outside of the water. If you combine these three concepts, you understand the word teva. Teva means something which is fixed and trapped in its fixedness. Stuck. It can't change it. That's tacha teva. I often, when I talk about the word teva, I give the same mushal. And I probably talked about this earlier this year in different shiurim here with you guys. When the Eibishter created organisms, living beings, he created two basic models. Right? One of the great questions is, how do we hold ourselves up? Gravity is pulling us down, and we have to keep ourselves up. How do we keep ourselves up? Or to say it in other words, keeping ourselves off the ground should take so much energy that we shouldn't be able to get anything done except keep ourselves off the ground. And the answer to this problem is bones. Now bones are heavy, which means you have to keep the bones off the ground. So the Eibishter has to play a balancing act. The bones shouldn't be too heavy. They should be strong enough to keep us off the ground. Nobody thinks about not falling down, even though gravity is pulling him down. Because the bones keep you up, yeah? There's another type of a creation, it's called a crustacean. And they have a shell, mollusks. They have a shell. They have no bones, just a shell. And in biology, it's called endoskeletonism and exoskeletonism. Endoskeletonism means you have bones on the inside that support you. Exoskeletonism is on the outside. What's the difference? If you have bones, you could bend. You have a backbone called vertebrae, vertebrata, it bends, you can bend. If you have a shell, you can't do anything with it, you're stuck. Animals with shells, when they grow, have to molt. Have to creep out of that shell and create a new one because the shell is like living inside a rock. You can't do anything with it. It's fixed. You crack the shell, the animal is dead. But the shell protects the animal. It's two models. If you have bones, you're flexible, you're pliable, you can bend to a great degree. If you have a shell, you're fixed. A teva is like an exoskeletal model. A teva is the Eibishter stamped on you in nature and you're stuck with it, right? You tell a 16-year-old, why did you just burn the house down? I don't know. It's my nature. I can play with fire. my nature. A nature is a fixed, constant condition. Can't do anything about it. In this room, there are all kinds of personalities. The people in this room who are very social, nice guys, very social, they can't learn Torah. Those two traits go together. There are people in this world who are very diligent, love to learn, and they're not the most social people in the world. Those two traits go together. Who's better off? The answer is everybody has good and everybody has bad. That's what the word teva means. The Abish gives you a nature or a personality, if you will. That nature, that personality has within it everything good about you, everything not good about you, and the irony is they're exactly the same thing. It's a nature. And the nature is a shell. It fixes you. Only a yid can. A malach can't, a goy can't, and an animal can't. It's fixed. So the Rebbe says animals have a nature. Different animals have different natures. Some animals are cruel. Some animals are vicious. Some animals have bloodlust. Some animals are kind. Some animals are benign. Some animals are very, very, very easy.
Entire species?
Yes, of course. Animals, whatever their nature is, this is what they are. An animal who's kind can't be cruel, doesn't know how to do it. An animal who's designed by the Eibishter to kill can't not kill. It's in its nature. But, ufkudasa yizborech shamra rucham. No animal violates its nature. Animals will not kill more than the nature commands. Just like they won't kill less than nature commands, that's all. It's a very, very big difference between a lion and a hyena, for example. And what are those? The weasels. Weasels are so much more angry than lions. I have no idea. Different now, different natures. And if you study biology, you have much push it more testosterone, more hormones. They have more tendency towards killing. Animals will kill based on the nature, never more. Bad animals have bad natures. You don't want to meet them in a jungle without a cage. You know what I'm saying? This is their nature. They will never be better than their nature, but they won't be worse than their nature. This is their nature. So there's a bonus to Zippo with the Rambam. You can't really change the nature of an animal. You know what I'm saying? Rambam. A goy has a nature. What's the nature of a goy? Listen carefully to me. The nature of a goy is he cannot be eved on any one of the sheva mitzvot nenech. The nature of a goy is he can't kill by nature, he can't steal by nature, he can't be eved avodah zarah by nature, he can't be mevarech es Hashem by nature, he can't be megal aroyes by nature, he can't be echel eved menachai by nature. I skipped one of that. And he has to have... It's live in a civilization with a court system by nature. You can't live in a jungle. If a goy is eved on any one of the shevet neneach, he is breaking his teva, which an animal cannot do.
I'm in a... So he's able to.
That's right.
Said,
a yid has a nature. I said animals.
You said goyim, malachim, and
animals. What about being machal Shabbos? What about eating treif? It's not against his nature. It's not against nature. He can do it. It's not against his teva. Does that mean that goyim should dafke wear shatnas? Love dafke. It's within his nature. A yid has a nature also. Now the boy say, when you say at this point a yid has a nature, you mean the nature of the nefesh habamis. It says in Tanya Perek Ches in the beginning, look it up. One of the most understudied shtiklach Tanya. The nefesh habamis of a yid, we're talking about the teva now, is called sheid misheidid yodayim. A yid by nature, and we mean the nature of the nefesh habamis, cannot do an aveda. When a yid does an aveda, he's been going against his nature. The nature of a yid is, if it's kosher, I'll take two. Taivas heter, vifil salasachla. Just like in the nature of a goy, mitad the nefesh habamis of a goy, he can eat today, if he can be machal Shabbos, and so forth. The nature of a yid, if the meat is kosher, and it's been prepared properly, I'm talking about the teva of the nefesh habamis now. But an aveda is hepech hateva of the nefesh habamis of a yid. Look it up, Tanya Perek Ches. It's only a few lines. Zog the Rebbe, ein adam eved aveda elim keinichnas beiruach shtus. You're going against your teva, teva of the nefesh habamis. A human being cannot murder. He has to learn how to do it. Animals don't have any conscience about killing if it's in their nature. Killing you have to learn. Stealing you have to learn. Even by a goy. Chil Shabbos you have to learn. Achilas Treifet you have to learn by a Yid Lahavdil. Because it's Hepech Teva. Says the Rebbe, you should know the Sech. Ein Adam Eved Aved, Elim Kei Nichnas Beiruach Shtus. This is a Shtus going against your animal nature. I mean, the animal nature of a human being. The Nefesh HaBahamis. Animals, Bepashtus, Bali Chai, have a Teva they cannot violate. Uf Kudase is Baruch Shom Reruchah. The Chassidus brings the eye from Daniel Begev Arayis. It's a Zayah. It's Pesukim and Tanach. The animals would not eat Daniel, even though they were starving, and they were lions, because they saw that he was a Shemer Abris, Tzelem Alekim, and they couldn't touch him. It's Hepech de Teva. They cannot change the Teva, as hungry as they are. That if there was a Siluk of the Tzelem Alekim, Apneim, in other words, if a Nidmal Hemke Behemah, when a human being is Nechmachal Asabris, and he looks like an animal, the animal can eat him, he thinks it's an animal. But if he looks like a human being, an animal can't touch him. Why? The teva of an animal does not allow for it, and an animal cannot break his teva. A goy, whose even Hashem Tzanech is breaking his teva, it's ruach shtus by a goy, that's the chiddush of this maimer. A yid, whose even anyone, the agmitvus, is breaking the teva of the Nefesh HaBahamis. Now, in case you don't know what I'm telling you clearly, you have to take a look on page Chof Ches, the first Kash and Teretz, Aleph. The Rebbe says, when a goy is Eved on Sheva Mitzvah Neneach, it's the same concept of a Ruach Shtus as when a Yid is Eved on Tayag Mitzvah. And in the first Shtikel Maimed, what is the Pshat Ruach Shtus? You're breaking the Teva of your Nefesh HaBahamis. And the Rebbe develops this idea by saying the following. The Eibishter created klipas. The klipas that the Eibishter created are not shtus. They're teva. Shtus is the man-made contribution. Yeah. The klipas the Eibishter made are what I'm calling kabonas, perik beis. But in the klipas the Eibishter made, there's also two categories. There's klipas nega, and the shor klipas atmeis lagamri. Whether you're talking about klipas nega, or you're calling what the Rebbe calls in the maimer klipa v'seter achra. In other words, Shalosh Klipas Atmeis Lagamri. In as much as Klipas were created by the Eibishter, in other words, the Teva of Klipa, whether the Teva of a Kosher Klipa, which means a Kosher animal, or the Teva of a Trefa Klipa, which means a Trefa animal. Remember, Kosher animals get chais from Klipas Nega. Trefa animals get chais from Shalosh Klipas Atmeis Lagamri. In as much as God created Klipas, they are staying within the bounds of their Teva. Man-made klipas is a ruach shtus, which means you're violating your teva and creating hepecha teva ra, evil which is unnatural. And again, the chiddush of this maimed that by a goy this is shayach, just like a shayach is by a yid. When a goy does an aveira, he's going against teva of Nefesh HaBahamis.
Saying the teva of a goy is good.
Teva of a goy is to keep shavmis in the neach. Not more. A goy is shalosh klipas at meis lagamri, but he has a teva. Lay Sigzel, Lay Sirtach, Lay Sinov. You shouldn't worship Abed Zara, you shouldn't need Eva Menachai, and you have Yalla Krista Eberstedt, and you have to have Dinim, you have to have a court system. A goy cannot violate those. And if and when he does, it's Hepech Tivei. It's called Shtus. Shtus is worse than Klipa, because Shtus is man made. So the Rebbe is Machadish Achidish Nifla. I don't know what the source of this is. This is the source. We always thought that the difference between bad and terrible is klipas neiga and shalosh klipas meis lagamri. That's what we always thought. Not so bad as klipas neiga, a kosher animal, nefesh b'chamis of a yid. Really bad is a treif animal, the nefesh b'chamis of a goy. He says, Rebbe, no, you got it wrong. You're wrong. The split is not between klipas neiga and shalosh klipas meis lagamri. The split is between klipas hor within their teva and klipas who are violating their teva. Whether you're klipas nega or shalosh klipas atmeis lagamri, if you stay within the bounds of your klipa, you're following the teva the Eibishter gave you. When you cross that line, and it's only shayach by human beings with free will, by a goy in his sheva mitzvah p'denea, and a yid in taryag mitzvah, you have just descended from the realm of klipa to the realm of shtus, from the realm of teva to the realm of lamata menateva. And what is the difference? The difference is every klipa that God created, even sholish klipas atmeyes lagamri, karolei lekodo lekaya, They identify God as their indirect source. Alakad Lakai means the God of gods. They don't believe in Achdus. They don't say Hashem is controlling every single move I make. But they don't say the world is a jungle. The Eibishter is running the world through intermediates. Alakad Lakai, the God of gods. Sholish Klipas Atmeyas Lagamri. When it stays within the bounds of its Teva, says the Eibishter Alakad Lakai. Klipas Nega. When it stays within the bounds of its Teva, it's a lakod alakai. This is a very big chiddush. You take out the machzarik achas Hashem, you may find a steeder to this. What's the Rebbe saying? We know there's two levels of klipa. Shituf and aveidah zara. We always thought the difference between shituf and aveidah zara is klipas nega and shalosh klipas meis lagamri. Says the Rebbe, not so. No, no, no. Shituf includes both klipas nega and shalosh klipas meis lagamri. Because that's klipa within the bounds of the nature of klipa. Aveidah Zarah includes both Klipas Noiga, that means Nefesh Bahamas of a Yid, and Shalosh Klipas Meis Lagamri, means Nefesh Bahamas of a Goy. When you cross the line of your nature, that's Aveidah Zarah. In other words, Rabbi said the difference is not between Yidin and Goyim. It's not between Klipas Noiga and Shalosh Klipas Meis Lagamri. It's between Klipas as God made them and Klipas as men make it worse through the word Shtus. Klipas God made them as a lakod alakai. Sai klipas naiga, sai shalosh klipas meis lagamri. When you go against your nature and do a sin, that shtus, this is aveidah zara. Kum tois aveidah zara is connected directly to what? Sinning. Aveidah zara means the Eibishter gave me a nature and I can violate it. Goyim by doing their sheva mitzvahs, being eved in one of their sheva mitzvahs, and a yid lahav by eved tayag mitzvahs. This is novel. This is a chiddush. This is a new approach to the whole understanding of klipas nega, shalosh klipas meis lagamri, yidden and goyim, elakod alakai and aveidah zara. It's gvaldik chiddush. But that's what it says in this minor. Now I have a problem because I am holding in the minor at the bottom of page your test, and the next two pages your test chof and the beginning of chof, I have two different ways to teach, and I really don't know which way to teach, so I picked. You know, ini, mini, miny, mo, I picked mini. Listen, there's a number of ways of teaching this shtickel. I'm going to teach it in the following way. But you could learn the shtickel differently. What happens at the bottom of page your test is as follows. We just defined ruach shtus as what? Heipach, the teva, the nefesh abamis. In as much as ruach shtus, heipach, the nefesh abamis, there's really no big difference between a yid and a goy. Kumtz again, the Rebbe, and he says, but a Yid has a different Teva. The Teva of the Nefesh HaLakis. A Goy does not have that Teva. A Goy's best nature is his Behema. And the Behema of a Goy cannot kill naturally, cannot steal naturally, unless it learns how to do it. But the Goy is also limited to Teva. Underneath the Teva of the Nefesh HaBahamis of a Yid, which is that a Yid naturally cannot do an Aved is a Ruach Shtus, there's a Teva B'Toich Teva. And the Teva B'Toich Teva of a Yid is that a Yid is a Shtik Eibish, there's a Lukus. Understand this, the fact that you have a godly spark, which makes you one with the Eibish, is a Teva, it's a nature. But this nature has only the upside and not the downside. What's the upside? It's my nature to connect to the Eibishter. What's not the downside? That doesn't limit me. It emancipates me. Correct? Teva means what I am. The good and the bad. If it's Klipa. When you talk about the Teva, Yid and a Goy, as much as Klipa is concerned, they go together. Any Aveda is Ruach Shtus. Any conforming to that Teva is Elkad Lakaya. But inside the Teva of a Yid, there is access to a different Teva, which is a piece of Eibishter. This different Teva, which is a piece of Eibishter, gives you a nature but not a limit. This is where Yidden and Goyim part. In other words, when a Goy is Eiv and Aveda, he's violating Teva as Nefesh HaBamis. And when Yidden is Eiv and Aveda, number one, he is violating Teva of Nefesh HaBamis, and number two, he is violating Teva of Nefesh HaLakis. And the Teva of Nefesh HaLakis is a nature only lemal yuse, only in the positive sense. A yid nishter, vil nishter, korn, ven, obgis, and forgetlichkeit. A Jew neither wishes nor is able to accept from the Eibishter, but it doesn't limit you, it frees you. And this is what happens at the bottom of page your test. The Rebbe starts talking about the neshama. This is how I'm teaching it. I could teach it different than I'm teaching it to you now. In talking about the neshama, the Rebbe says, I want to ask a kasha. If we say that a goy and a yid is more or less the same thing, they serve Hashem b'teva. No, but then they have different tevas. The teva of a goy is sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach. The teva of a yid is tayag mitzvahs ha-teirah. And any aveda is a ruach shtus could say pachateva, but because it's the same thing. So what really is in the yid and a goy? And the tenets is b'nei neach eina muzharim ala shituf. A goy is allowed to say alakad alakayim. As a goy is allowed to live within his nature, what does that mean to live within his nature? He's allowed to say, the Eibishter created me with a certain personality, but my personality doesn't say, Ein Eid Milvadeh. My personality doesn't say there's nothing besides for God. My personality says me, the Eibishter is involved in his world indirectly, and I shouldn't be over these seven Avedas. Yisrael are not allowed to believe in Shita, they believe in Achtas. Now, we talk about Achtas all day and all night. That's what we learn. Chassidus is all about Achas Hashem. Yeah. But how often do we stop and tell ourselves, I believe in Achas? Who am I kidding? I believe in Achas. You know what Achas means? I'll tell you what Achas means. There's a Yerushalmi, which is brought in a Tesis in Masechta Shabbos, but V'hoye Emunah Sitecha, Emunah Zeh Seyed Ezraim, so Tesis brings a Yerushalmi. Chassidus brings it. When a goy plants a seed in the ground, he could eat that seed. When he plants a seed in the ground, it's going to rot. He's Eved and Baal Tashas. Why is he planting? Because he believes in Teva. Last year I planted, nature produced a crop. For one seed, I got 100 seeds or 1,000 seeds. 2 years ago I planted, nature produced a crop. So I'm making an investment. I'm being Eved and a small Baal Tashas for a greater return. Who's feeding me Teva? The Eibishter created Teva. A Yid puts a seed in the ground, Maimin, Bechei, Hayalamim, Vizereya. When a Yid puts a seed in the ground, L'chei, is Eved and Baal Tashas, the Teret says, Hashem said, put it in the ground. The earth feeds me. Nechtikita, God feeds me. What about the fact that every single year when you plant wheat, wheat grows and not barley? Every time a piece of food goes out of the ground that I'm able to eat, the Eibishter just fed me l'maylam and ateva, b'nes. A goy is allowed to say, elakod elakaya, teva. The Eibishter is about loss over nature. I have a nature. I stay within that nature. I'm not Eved. I'm a kayim, the shev mitzvah nenech. I'm a good goy. I'm a good man. I believe in the Eibishter. But I don't believe that the Eibishter is omnipresent. I don't believe the Eibishter is the only thing there is. There's laws of nature. I go out to make a living within the parameters of the limitations of the nature of Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neach. But I believe in Teva. A guy puts a seed in the ground, a Yid Lahavdol, puts a seed in the ground just because God said so. Otherwise, it's Baal Tashas. How many people go to work and truly believe that the Panasa is not coming from the employer, from the Eibishter? This is basic Judaism. Achdus Hashem is not a madrega for big tzaddikim. Achdus Hashem is elementary. The yisod of Yiddishkeit, the tayyad, the shei shlei shesrei, ikrei emunah, which the Rambam speaks about, one of those zikim is Achdus Hashem. What is Achdus Hashem? When you throw up a rock and it lands, the Eibishter threw it onto the ground. When you throw up a rock again and it lands, what about the mathematics and the physics that explain gravity? Whether the earth is pulling or the sky is pushing down, that's all details. Nah, that's a facade. That's a klipa. That's a teva. Teva's a lie. The Eibishter did it. Every time you throw up a rock and it comes back down, the Eibishter pushed it down to the ground because there's no teva, there's only Eibishter. How many Jews do you know that live on that level? And to be honest, this is basic expectation of a goy, of a yid. A goy's teva is good. When a goy lives in his teva, he doesn't can't be Eva Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neach. He's allowed to believe that Bria has laws of nature. Elakad Elakaya, he's a good guy. Shituf is permitted. A Yid is not allowed to believe in Teva. A Yid is not allowed to believe in Shituf. A Yid is not allowed to say Elakad Elakaya. A Yid has to say Ein Eid Milvadeh. Only God. Why? Honestly. We all learn the Mordim of Achtus, yeah? The Mordim of Achtus are intense. This sugi of Yidden and Goyim is the Mordim of Pesach. Matzah. Goyim are only mechoyev to believe in Mamalek Alam, and are you mechoyev to believe in Sevech Alam? It's a standard sugya, but all over Chassidus. Tzemach Tzarek Adarach Mitzvasecha, and Maimon, I intest Ach Merim Shatayin, there's many Maimonim, even in the Kutate, you have the same Maimon. Then a Yid and a Goy, is only mechoyev to believe in Mamalek Alam. He's not mechoyev, no, the Goy is allowed to believe in nature. He has to believe God created nature. A Yid is not allowed to allow nature to be real. Nature is a Helem Hester, nature's keeper. Why? For lack of words, because a Yid has a super teva. A teva b'toich teva. The teva of a goy limits him. It limits him in a good way that he can't do an aveda, but it limits him in a bad way. He can't believe in Achas Hashem. If you don't believe in Elokad Lekai Shitav. The teva of the nefesh b'hamas of a Yid limits a Yid the same way. He can't do any aved, any one of the Tayag Mitzvahs Kateira, but he can't believe in Achas Hashem. But when Zer Levi said right at the beginning of the Shir, a Yid could change his nature. In other words, the argument that nature is equal to exoskeletonism, a shell, is true of a goy. A Yid also has a shell, but a Yid can and therefore must break the shell. And because a Yid can and must break the shell, Chassidus asserts a Jew has a different teva. And the second teva of a Yid is not a teva behemi, it's teva laki. The second teva of a Yid is not a nature that limits him to shita for lakoda lakaya. I'm allowed to believe in nature. The second teva of a Yid is, quote, a Yid nishtavil, nishtakonved, and upgrades of a get lachait, a Jew's nature. But he's one with God, and he'll die not to behave in aveda. So this is the flow of the Maimei boys. Point one. Klipa, as God created it, has a teva. Alakad alakaya. Klipa, as man worsens it, ruach shtus, a violation of teva. Yidden and goyim have this in common. When a goy lives within his teva, he's mekayim sheva mitzvahs b'nei neach, and he conforms to the belief in shituf, alakad alakaya, he's a good goy. And therefore, a goy is only mechoyev to believe in teva. Hashem gives life to nature. Not that there is no nature. You can question, is a goy mechoyev to believe in nisim? Is a goy mechoyev to believe in hashkacha pratis? To some degree, yeah. But not the same as a yid. A goy is allowed to say nature has its course. He has to just believe that Eibusha created it. Eibusha fit the song. Eibusha balbas over it. Because a yid's teva of the behema, his exoskeleton, can be transformed. In other words, a Yid can break the Teva of Nefesh HaBahamis. He is expected to conform to a deeper Teva, the Teva of Nefesh HaLakis. And the Teva of Nefesh HaLakis is that a Yid is one with the Eibishta Be'etzem. He'll die not to be Eida and Aveda. And therefore, a Yid is mechoyev to believe in Sevakam. That's what happens the last four lines on page Yates, where he starts explaining the difference between Mamalek Alaman and Sevakam. A Goy feels that he's alive. And he must acknowledge that life comes from God. But that's it. A Jew is not enough to feel that he's alive and that life comes from the Eibishter. A Jew must feel, I exist. And that existence is created by a God every single second. I have to be aware of that. Sevif Kolam. Why is a goy not mechoyev to believe in Yeshmeyayin? Do you know why? Because it's outside of his teva. The teva of a goy does not compel him to ask, where did the world come from? The teva of a goy simply compels him to ask, what is the world? And therefore, a good guy who believes in Mamalek Olam and Hashem gives me life, but my existence is built, he's living within the parameters of his teva. A Yid, because he has an neshama, is not bound by the nature of his nature. He can crack that nature and say, the question is not how I am alive or where I come from. And the moment you start thinking about where I come from, you think about Yesh Mayai, and now you're thinking about spontaneous creation, b'chorega v'rega, and therefore there's no teva, there's just Eibishter. So the Rebbe journeys with us through the Maimir. Your Eved and Aveda, Ruach Shtis broke the Teva of the Nefesh HaBahamis, and this is the same by Yid and a Goy. Your Eved and Aveda, in addition to a Yid being over the Ruach Shtis of the Teva of the Nefesh HaBahamis, there's a deeper dimension. A Yid's Teva is not limiting like a Goy's Teva. A Yid can crack that shell and access the Pintel Yid, the Neshama Pnimis. And when he accesses the pintel of yid, he's mechuyev to believe maimin b'chayy elam v'zereya, the Eibush that creates the world b'chol rega v'rega, and therefore all I see is God. And of course he develops the idea on page chaf, as you guys all learned this, that a goy comes from chetanius haratzen, basically it means he's stuck in his teva, a yid comes from pnimius haratzen, which means his teva is not limiting. A Jew has a nature and he can defy it. A goy has a nature and he cannot. And therefore for a goy not to be Eivash Hashem Mizneach, and to believe in Shituf, and to say Elokod Elokai is legit, all he has to believe is in God gives me life. He doesn't have to ask himself where I come from. He has to ask himself, well, how come I'm alive? A Yid can break his Teva. And therefore it's not enough to not be Eivash Tayag Mitzvah, and to say Elokod Elokai, and to believe in Teva. A Jew has to believe in Yesh Mayayin, and therefore has to believe every single second God gives him life, and therefore he has a new nature, a godly nature. A nature only with an upside and not with a downside. The upside, I will die for God. That's my nature. But the downside is there's no limit. Dying for God, that's not limiting. The downside normally is that I can't go beyond my nature. But when your nature is godly, that means the nature is infinite. So the Rebbe says, let's put it in other words, when a goy does an aveda, there's one ruach shtus. And when a yid is doing an aveda, there's a ruach shtus under a ruach shtus. There's two. When a goy does an aveda, it's a ruach shtus, which is breaking the teva of klipa. When a yid does an aveda, first of all, that ruach shtus is breaking teva of klipa, like it says in Peri Gimel and Peri Beis of the Maimon. And second of all, because a yid is not limited by the teva of klipa, and he has a teva of kedusha, the ruach shtus is breaking not just the teva of the nefesh of Bahamas, he's breaking the teva of nefesh Elokis. That's the flow of the Maimon. That's how I see it. He starts off saying what a goy and a yid have in common. They both have a teva, and when they live within that teva, that's a lakod alakaya, that's shituf. It's believing in Mamalik Alamin. When you do an Aveda against that Nefesh, you're doing Shtus, Ruach Shtus. But a Yid has a Neshama. The Yid's Neshama can crack the Teva of the Nefesh HaBahamis. And therefore, when a Yid does an Aveda, he's violating not just the Teva of Nefesh HaBahamis, he's violating the Teva of Nefesh HaLakis, which is Lamayla Manaseh HaLagamri. And he brings Rayas, that when it comes to the Pintel Yid, there's no Ischalkus. A bigger Rav is not more or less likely to be Meis Nefesh HaKiddush Hashem than a Poshet B'Pshutim HaKal Sheh B'Kalim. It's exactly equal. Because it's the Teva of the Etzem HaNeshama. Now, Ad Kan HaShir. And I say this to you guys. I think this is the correct Pshat of the Maimar. I think means I'm not sure. But I think this, I have to understand, this is a flow. So the point that weaves its way through the entire Maimon is the words Ruach Shtus. The word of the Maimon is, he starts off talking about Ruach Shtus, which is breaking the Teva, which a Yid and a Goy have in common, and then it journeys from there to the Ruach Shtus, which is unique to a Yid and a Goy doesn't even have. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. So a Goy can't break his nature?
That's right.
So how can he?
No, he can't break his nature to reveal his godly spark. But he could, in other words, he can't break his nature to go higher than his nature. But he could break his nature to go lower than his nature.
They have a Ruach Shtus also.
They have said, look, my holy brother. Right here. Mipnei Ruach Shtus Shenichnas Boy. That's it. He said exact a goy has Ruach Shtus as a
Kayid. What exactly is the Teva of a Jew?
That he cannot be Eivan and Tayag Mitzvahs, but Taiva's head that he can do by nature.
His Teva is from his Nefesh HaBahamis.
Yes, the Shabamas.
So then why do we say that he's going, the fact he's able to go into his Nefesh?
Because that's where Devin Nefesh HaLakis. He starts off talking Teva Nefesh HaBahamis, which are Yid and the Goy are the same, and then he goes from there to the next Madrege. I think that's a Pshat in Maimon. I think.